Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Our favorite time of the week.
High school sweethearts turned married couple with two kids.
Join us for a conversation on life, parenting, marriage, and more.
Welcome to Close Enough.
Okay. So it's been a hot minute since we've released anything, but this week we're going to release two podcasts. We celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary on August the 2nd, but just before that, we went to Natural Bridge with all of our friends. Not all of them, but a good portion of our friends that were able to make it and had a big time. And in that big time, the guys recorded a podcast and the girls recorded a podcast. And this is just a celebration of our 20 years. Now, I am super proud of my marriage first, my family being a father second, and then my friendships third. Because these guys have been there through all the good, the bad, the ugly. They're like the ride or die crew. And I wouldn't be who I am today without these guys and many more. But these guys have been there since little Gary back in, you know, sixth grade. That's when I met most of them. So this episode is the guys talking about everything. Some old stories, a lot of inside jokes, but just laying down our relationship, who we are, Matt freaking out at Natural Bridge, all that good stuff. This is me, Jason Ellis, Seth Thatcher, and Matt Stokes. This episode is titled Bussy.
We let the girls, they did a solid hour. Of that footage, you think we can get maybe 10 minutes? I can highly edit it. I don't know if we need to or not.
We just need to make sure they, you know, they were nice.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be nice.
We're going to be respectful.
Maybe.
I'm not going to be nice. I'm definitely going to talk about people's boosies.
So that voice you just heard is Seth. I guess it was during COVID when we went live. We did like Close Enough from Home. So Seth came in. Ellis did it. Our first guest was Matt. The internet was going for it. So Matt, Jason, and Seth are here. We're celebrating my 20th wedding anniversary. They were all present there 20 years ago.
It's a lot of fun, just like this weekend's been a lot of fun.
But
except for hiking.
We did go. We got to get this story out because I've known Matt basically my whole life, as of you guys. We get – also, I don't want to see any comments talking shit about us hiking. I mean – we don't fit the stereotypical hiker bod.
Speak for yourself.
No, I was ready to die. He's talking about me. I was done.
I ain't built for hiking.
No. No, but so we went to the top of the Natural Bridge. The hike wasn't even the worst part. Matthew's anxiety when we got to the top was something I didn't even know existed. You know, you want to talk about a motherfucker calm, cool, collected all the time. That's Matt Stokes. We get to the top, and he is nervous as a shithouse rat. And I'd never seen that before. I was like, oh, God. Like, me and Jason are looking over the edge. He's like, get away from there. I was like, hold up, Dad.
I had to turn around and walk away.
He said he almost threw up.
I about threw up. My anxiety went through the roof. And then the girls were sitting there on the edge. I'm like, what is wrong with you all? Like, you fall off there, you're done. You know, I know their insurance is up, but goodness gracious.
Yeah.
I don't like heights. So that was not fun for me at all.
It's not the heights that bother you, it's the falling.
No, the heights. If I'm not up there, I'm not going to fall. So if I don't go up there, I don't have to worry about the fall. So it's the heights. You know, you got to get step one to get step two.
You don't
do
roller coasters or anything like that.
No, I'm a sissy. Nothing heights. Like I don't care.
But
I'm a sissy.
Sarah, she didn't like heights and she seemed to do fine once we got up there.
Yeah, and I think it's important to kind of paint the picture. We're on top of the Natural Bridge, which sounds scary, but it's 30 feet wide.
Yeah.
So, and I stayed right in the middle of it.
You did stay dead middle.
Not get within 20 feet of the edge somehow.
That's the...
Even when we did our group picture, I told you, I said, we're taking it right here. We're not getting over by the edge of it.
Yeah. Which we'll post that picture, but you can... Matt's leaning forward like he's got bungee cords attached to him.
If you look at my feet, I've got my right foot is back farther, pushing myself forward just so I know I'm not near the edge or going to fall backwards over top of the cliff or whatever you want to call it, the bridge.
Yeah, it was definitely a new Stokes. Everybody who knows Stokes knows he's the most laid back, goofy guy. And I don't know who it was up there on top of Natural Bridge, but that was not the Stokes that I know.
Yeah. It was interesting. No, don't worry about me. I'm just producing over here. You know, make sure everybody sounds good. At least that's the hope for it. Because who knew Jason Ellis is an audiophile and the volume means a lot to him.
I have a hard time hearing. I turn you all.
Would you say you're hard of hearing? But you don't listen with headphones.
No, I don't.
No, we know why he's hard of hearing. Because we can hear what he's listening to five rooms down the hall in his cabin, and he's got it blaring the whole time. So maybe you need to turn it up, or you need to tell Gary and Abby to start yelling more in their podcast, and I think you could hear it.
Well, something needs to happen.
It's interesting because you listen to our podcast. You listen to this very podcast you're on. Do you listen to the other podcasts?
No, I don't really know how any of that works. Y'all are the ones that showed me how to do it, so I don't.
So, Seth, do you listen to podcasts?
Yeah, I listen to several. I listen to, like, sports podcasts and Revisionist History, Malcolm Gladwell, and just everything.
But you only listen to KSR, right?
Right. Just you all in KSR.
But is KSR daily?
It is. 5 days a week.
And it's on the radio, too, though, right?
Right.
Interesting.
But I listen to it on podcast, though.
So they just upload it after it's over?
Yeah.
Every night?
Basically immediately.
I just don't know how. Is it always Kentucky-based stuff, or is it they just talk about everything?
Everything, but it's Kentucky-centric, no doubt. And it's specifically Kentucky basketball and football-centric, but they'll talk about, especially in the summer, you know, they'll talk about anything.
Did I hear Chris Jericho on there not too long ago talking about pro wrestling? Because you know Matt Jones bought OVW in Louisville.
Oh, he did. Now, that was a while ago, but he was on there.
Yeah. I was scrolling through the radio, and I've never listened to KSR like a full episode. But they were talking to Chris Jericho, and Chris Jericho had kept detailed records of where he'd wrestled. He's talking about wrestling in Harlan, Kentucky, making like $200.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. Yeah. And I was like, why is Chris Jericho on KSR? And I remembered Matt Jones had bought OVW.
Yeah, and they talk about that a lot.
That's got to be a passion project because that doesn't make any money.
There's a Netflix documentary coming out about OVW.
Really?
Like within a month they've been talking about it. They came and they followed them, I think it was last year, but for some period of time, several months, and it's going to be a documentary on Netflix.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Matt will look at TikTok if I send him one, but you guys don't. I know Jason doesn't use TikTok.
That's not necessarily true because Micah sends me TikToks all the time, and she'll say, "Hey, wasn't that funny?" I'm like, "What? I don't really. If you send it, doesn't mean I'm going to look at it."
It tells me that you watched it though.
Yeah, well,
or that you at least opened it.
So I would say 90% of the time I haven't opened it.
Well, it's just funny because my algorithm is 90s pro wrestling. And we were all in that. Like, we'd rent the pay-per-views. We'd go over to Seth's house and watch it or come to my house and watch it. Like, we've had some, like, we, for a couple years, Saturday night, or maybe there's, I think there's Sunday nights. Sunday night wrestling, Sunday night. We were down. We knew all that stuff. And then, do y'all even follow it anymore?
No. Couldn't tell you last time I watched wrestling.
No.
We used to have some fun times, though.
Yeah. We knew everything was going on. We'd wrestle. Melanie came out in the yard, worried to death about us.
Yeah, she'd yell at us quite a bit.
I saw Brad Winkleman. Was it was it Rob that he almost put through a?
No, that was me.
Oh yeah, put
that
you
was
through
a rack and I hit your ceiling fan in your house.
That was. Oh, I would pay to see him try to do it now.
Yeah, yeah, that would
that wouldn't work out for me.
Oh, it's odd. We all have, well, we've got two teachers here. You heard two former teachers.
Two former teachers. They're not teachers anymore.
They're not teachers anymore. But we all went different paths in life. But we've always stayed together somehow. Like, we keep coming back to each other.
And it's funny because, you know, like, Micah will tell people all the time, you know, she says, you know, Matt's got this core group of friends that he always, they've always hung out together. They've known each other since they were little. You know, Seth and I went to elementary school together. And, you know, so, and people can't believe that, you know, we got us four, you got Lacey, Rob, you know, Chadwell, Curtis, whoever, there's, you know, 8, 9, 10 of us that always seem to make sure we make time for each other. And even if I talked to Curtis the other night and I hadn't talked to him in forever. We talked on the phone for an hour. Just like we've
But it's like you never left, you know, like we could, like for you specifically, from October to March.
You don't see me.
You don't see you. Talk to you. You know, I would used to record him doing radio interviews and send them to him. It cracked me up. I'd be on the phone like, Round County girls head coach Matt Stokes. And I'd just start laughing. I'm like, oh my God. Like, like he has to be serious, you know.
And that's very hard for me because, you know, and I think, you know, on some of that stuff, you know, we used to do, you know, we were in high school and you had someone like D. Brown who would do the Moorhead News and he would call me in the morning and say, hey, I put a quote in the paper for you. I'm like, okay, did I sound good? He's like, of course. Yeah, you know, because he knew if I said something. He used to listen to me do interviews with other, like, radios and whatever after ball games, and he'd just sit there and laugh. So I get down, I'm like, what was it? What did I say? He's like, you're an idiot. This is why I do the quotes for you, because you're terrible. I'm like, well, you got to help me out. I don't know what I'm doing, you know?
I feel like now, could you imagine – 1996, we all had social media.
No.
The debauchery.
We probably wouldn't have the jobs we have right now.
No, we would have no jobs. You know, cancel culture really wasn't a thing back then, but Ghost in the Closet come out, and that would be like, oh, did you type this? Did you make a Facebook status in 1997 about, that was me. Yeah, I'm glad. I don't know. But we all got kids. You guys have younger kids, but, you know, Matt and I have girls, especially in high school. That's the scariest shit ever.
I don't want to think about it.
I don't want to think about it either.
I'm not quite there. I mean, Hattie's in, she's going in her freshman year, but.
Last time I checked, that's high school.
Well, but I mean, you've gone.
Mine will be a sophomore, so.
You've gone through a year of it already, so you know kind of what's going on. And me, we've got people at the high school. I tell her all the time, like. You know, her Uncle Kelly or somebody's going to be checking in on her to make sure she's behaving. And, you know, she gets pretty upset about that. But I just kind of – she's really quiet and stays to herself anyways. So I'm not sure –
You don't have to worry about it.
I'm not sure what high school is going to bring for her. It might get her out of her shell, which could be scary for us. But, you know, she's pretty quiet and stays to herself. So I'm not really sure how this is going to go.
I haven't matured. I peaked about 95.
I think we all agree.
Maturity, maturity wise.
Yeah. Abby's a saint.
Like, I was sitting there thinking, Abby's a saint. I'm going to a retirement seminar where I'll get to sit down. I'm like, I ain't but like 19.
I mean, what are you going to do when you retire?
Get another job? I can't retire. If I can retire from this job and get another job.
You got anything in mind? You're going to.
So I've been on this speaking circuit for the last year and a half, and I'm hoping that like garner some attention.
So I mean, you know, is that something I could like hire you for and come in and talk to our basketball girls, or is that like a
no, it's not. It's definitely not motivational speaking. It's kind of boring actually, and that's where one of my buddies that I used to work with left and became a teacher, and he was asking me what I was up to, and I was telling him, I was like, man, you believe they let me get up there and talk for an hour in front of like 300 or 400 people? And I was like, I got a tight 10. I was like, but I fucking wing it, because I hate PowerPoint. I'm not going to use a PowerPoint. He's like, same, bro. So I'm like, then I got to thinking, as a teacher, do you use PowerPoint? Do you use like, what, like, is it all off the dome? Like,
No, I don't teach that way. I have to have the kids.
Are there teachers that way? Because was PowerPoint even a thing when we were in high school? It wasn't. They had transparencies. Slide a little transparency up there. You know?
Yeah, I remember those.
I think most people use like Google Slides now. They don't use PowerPoint. But
what's the same thing?
Yeah, it's the same thing. But yeah, I know plenty of teachers that just get up there and lecture for 45 minutes to whatever. But I can't do it that way.
I don't do that. I don't use electronics either. Just, you know.
Well, no. Roll the balls out, man.
Roll the balls out. Let's play.
is that still how gym class is?
No, it's
because it's optional. Like, Charlie's going to take a virtual gym class. What the fuck is that? Yeah, like, in the summer, like, she'll have to show up one time, but she'll have to, you know, prove she's doing something, but like to knock a credit out. So, because I guess we just took one. We had options.
Took one our freshman
year.
Put
one PE class, and then we could do weightlifting, stuff like that. But
Dance.
Miss
Fannin.
Oh. I took dance with Miss Fannin. Obviously.
Ellis, did you have dance with Miss Fannin?
Negative.
I didn't either.
I didn't either.
That's probably my problem when I dance for my kids at Clearfield. I'm awful, and I didn't have Miss Fannin to guide me and teach me.
Yeah, I feel like it was probably just line dancing and something.
Yeah, that's all it was.
I took my sophomore year. Was Chuck Adams our sophomore year?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was all the way through senior year.
Freshman, sophomore. Yeah, I guess
he
was.
Yeah, he was my weightlifting coach. And that motherfucker like really try to make you lift weights. I was like,
yeah.
Coach Adams was intense.
He had to go out there and do a mile. I was like, bro, I ain't trying to do all that.
Did you say that to him?
No.
Because I remember when he grabbed me by my jersey. Like, we were freshmen playing freshman.
I remember.
He was scared me to death. But no one I loved more than Coach Adams. And he would do anything for us when we played ball for him. But scared me to death if I messed up, because I knew he was going to get me.
There's a brief moment in my life where I thought I was going to be a hoopster. So I went to Louis O'Gorman basketball camp.
He was our roommate, baby.
And this is my only real memory of Chuck Adams, because he left after this. But the first night we're there, I fell out of the fucking bed. Now, we had a basketball hoop in there. We done like I took a can of Easy Cheese trying to nail the basketball hoop up and it exploded.
Busted the Easy Cheese all over the walls.
But in my defense, I was asleep and fell out of the bed. He didn't like my defense.
Yeah, coach wasn't having that.
He thought we was up wrestling doing shit, and I was like, no, the fuck we had to run? It was bullshit. Then he put me on the JV team, knowing I'm a fucking star.
We only took JV and varsity, to be honest.
I couldn't go any lower. Like, there was no need for a manager. I think we had two JV, me, Ben Miller, Chris Ray. Remember Chris Ray?
I remember Chris Ray.
And I remember talking. That's the first time. He was like, man, I'm on Ritalin. I was like, I don't even know what that is. He's like, it's for my ADD. I was like, I don't know what that is. He's like, I just get real excited. And, you know, I was like, okay. That's the first time. Like, and he was like 7 foot tall. He wasn't that tall, but I just remember he's so skinny. Whatever happened to him?
That's the first time I've thought about Chris Ray in 20 years.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I've not heard of his name forever. Yeah. You just think of all that stuff we used to do, too. You know, you talked about social media. You go back to we went to Louis O'Gorman camp, like all the pranks and stuff we did to each other.
Or Gabe Hildebrand.
Did the other teams. Like, just, there's some lot of, you know, and they've got rules for that kind of stuff now.
Yeah.
So
there was no rules.
There's no rule. Just don't let Coach Daniel catch you.
It's a good thing I discovered gambling later in life, because that was like the core of basketball camp. All the degenerates gamble 24/7. I was like,
Coach Adams was a card shark. Yeah. Like, I would never play because I knew I was losing my money. Coach Adams was the house and played, you played blackjack or whatever. He was like, I'll be the house. Mm-hmm. You weren't winning nothing. I don't know. I feel like he cheated all the time or something, but he walked away with all the quarters.
Well, who was going to challenge him?
Right. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? He was a beast.
Yeah. Listen, Chuck, beat your ass.
He laid down like a $50 bet on a poker game one time, and nobody could match it. And he's like, well, it's mine then. He just took everybody's money. Yeah. I was like, I don't think that's how it works. He's like, you can't match the bet. It's mine.
It's mine. I think it's just what's on the table. I mean, who am I to say? But yeah, we talked about going through the wrestling phase. We went through a pretty good poker phase for a few years. Yeah, we played all the time. Yeah. I'll never forget. Jason invites us down to Georgetown. Stokes doesn't know how to fucking play.
No.
And we're in a game, and I just remember he just laughed. Every time he got a hand, he just laughed. Nobody took him serious, and he beat everybody. And I was like, what the fuck is
this? And Rob would get so mad, too, because Rob was always trying to, like, go all in on something he didn't have. Early on, and I think I had like pocket aces or something.
Matt's just laughing the whole time. I'm like, what? Yeah, we went.
We had a big phase of that. I mean, we used to go to your house when y'all lived in Owensville.
Yeah, we go to the cabin.
Go to the cabin.
Yeah.
Like, we played that a lot.
Jason invested in a nice set of chips.
Are you not entertained?
We're not entertained. If you got Jason going, it might take us about 5 hours to play
a game. And I start talking, and the game tends to slow down a little
bit. Standing on tables or standing on steps and flipping the cards because he's a dealer. He's like, are you not entertained? You know, just
see, none of us have grown up.
That's true. Seth, maybe. He kind of.
You know, Seth's just, he's just well-traveled. You know, he's just.
That's right.
World traveler, going to Bermuda. My father probably won't come back, but
that's not true. I always come back. I always plan the next trip.
Well, how many times have you been to Bermuda?
Zero.
What have you heard about Bermuda?
I don't know.
People don't come back from Bermuda.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's the triangle.
I mean, that's where the triangle is. Yeah,
I'm not worried.
What if that's the hub of alien activity? You know, that's all the aliens talk, and there's like congressional hearings about aliens, and we're. You know, our boy Adam still worried about Hunter Biden. Are none of us worried about aliens?
No, apparently not. Because once that guy testified this week about it, nobody seemed to care. He was like,
they're hostile.
Spoken to 40 witnesses and seems like there's definitely.
Like, where is the alien activity at? I can tell you, but.
They're in the sky.
Yeah.
No. I mean, they're where aliens are. They're in the sky.
One of them runs Twitter. the other one runs Facebook. That's crazy. Y'all even believe in aliens? I guess you got to now.
No, I still don't. Even after that, I'm like, show me the evidence. Like, show me pictures. Show me, like, physically put me in the same.
Aliens building. And gluten are about the same for me. Like,
yeah. Show it to me.
Are they real things?
Yeah.
I don't know. My brother got a gluten issue.
Does he really?
Yeah, he about died. Like, legit about died.
And was it onset later in life?
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, growing up.
And I get in trouble because I tease him about it.
How many people do you know that was allergic to, like, peanut butter growing up? Like, now you can't even have, there's, like, nut-free tables. You can't
have it in school half the time, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know anybody.
Because, being the immature one, if I'd have known that, I would have rubbed peanut butter on my fuckers back in the day. Not really knowing the consequences of it. Like, oh, you're allergic to peanut butter? I got you, bro.
Yeah, I want to see your face swell up. Let me see this.
It was just a joke. I'm sorry.
What's that EpiPen do? Why you carry that around? I don't know.
Let me see it work just once. Yeah, I just want to see it work. You're not going
to
die.
I'm like Joey Diaz, though. Like, he was allergic to, like, maple syrup. And he said he'd eat pancakes, and he'd, like, go into a coma for a week. But he came out of it, and he can eat pancakes now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of made-up shit. COVID.
This is why I just watch sports, because y'all start talking about this stuff, and I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
To be fair, I've said this multiple times. I get all my news from memes.
Because we've seen your memes.
There'll be a meme that I don't know what it means, so I have to Google, like, see why it's actually in the news. You know, be like, oh, okay, I get it now. But that's where I get it.
Yeah, Jason loves the meme game that you and Adam put in our group chat.
We put in a lot of effort to entertain our group chat. If our group chat ever gets leaked, canceled.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, my kids have grabbed my phone before. It's like, you're not allowed to look at that.
Like, that's bury me with my cell phone, okay?
You going to send us some memes while you're dead?
I hope so. I hope.
That would really freak us out.
Yeah, I want to send it. I do want a text to go out
after you're dead.
After I'm dead, and be like, "Thanks for coming, bitches."
I love that idea.
Like I have such a morbid relationship with death, and I don't know why. Like I cried at all y'all's weddings, but
you were drunk at my wedding. You didn't cry.
I'm pretty sure I cried. No, I know I cried.
I don't believe that.
You were drunk in the parking lot before it even started.
You're scared of emotions, man.
I'm not.
You started telling dirty jokes in front of the preacher. You remember that?
No.
Like right before we went out, right before we walked out.
Like sex jokes from the preacher?
Yeah. And you start telling these jokes, and we're all dying
laughing. Was it a Catholic priest?
No.
Oh. I was going to say, different set of jokes. You got to know your audience.
We start walking out, and we're all dying laughing. So people are looking at us like, what is wrong with them? And you didn't want to say, well, Gary just told a dirty joke, and the preacher just looked at him like, what's wrong with you? You know, like.
I was in a place to repent, actually.
Yeah. But what I think is interesting, for somebody who talks so much about death, you won't go to funerals. And that upsets me.
You'll be at your own funeral, though.
I'll be at mine.
Yeah, you've got all these thoughts about.
I went to my dad's. I went to Seth's dad's. I went to a random family, like.
But you avoid funerals.
I try. Because I laugh. I do. I'll never forget sitting in the back row, Lacey Carl Lewis's funeral.
Senior.
With this group. And it was a Southern Baptist preacher, and he was getting into it. And on the third day, yeah. And I couldn't handle it. I was just laughing. I was like, this is. So I've got a funeral playlist. It's only got one song on it right now, but it's only one worthy of my funeral. I've got the menu.
I like the taco bar.
Taco bar.
With the salsa dip in your hands.
Right. Like,
I love that.
Rob, that's, wait, that
that's me giving back. One last time. I'm a giver, okay? But I don't want it to be sad, because you worked at a funeral home, you know? Like
my first job.
Like, I love going to see Mike and cutting jokes at, like, a visitation, you know? Like, because he's in, obviously, he has no feelings. You know? Or he has no feelings. It's a job, you know, like he's desensitized to this. And, right. You know, I guess when you around it so much, but like, and it's usually at your expense, or we'll talk about you, or, you know, because that's my connect. Like, you know, you usually have a connect. Like, my connection is Mike and Jason. But now I've been like, that's where all my families went. So I'm like, hey, what's up? Still here. Not me this time.
Not me this time.
Not yet.
But that last conversation I had with Mike Gray was like, all right. What's up with a bar at my funeral? And he's like, well, there's a home in Lexington that has a liquor license.
I was like, really?
Could you borrow it? He's like, I'll see what I can do. Not that I'll know, but I would hope a man would respect my wishes.
I mean, it's not like we can't just, once we throw dirt on you, we can go back to someone's house and just
or throw just, it down.
Or go to a bar.
Or just pour out a 40 on me as I'm going in the ground.
I mean, we're not going to waste it.
I'm not even worth it.
We're going to bring some of his pappy with us.
That's the thing. Boy Ellis come through with a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle for this occasion. Might have to do some favors later for him. Or I might have to go do some legal clerking for him when I retire.
No thanks.
Or, like in Good Will Hunting, when he sends, have you seen Good Will Hunting?
I have, but it's been when it came
out. So, you know, Ben Affleck goes to replace Will at a job interview. I feel like I could go maybe do a trial for you.
It'd be all right.
I think
you'd be drug out of there in handcuffs.
I would let him come and teach one of my PE classes or coach a ball game. So I feel like you should let him do a court date.
Yeah.
I don't think
not like a. I don't want pressure. Just like a small hit and run. Yeah, just a small, you know, under $100,000 claim.
Somebody slipped on the.
Somebody's not going to be mad if they lose.
Find me that client.
But walk me through your early years of being a lawyer, because what I enjoy the most is, and you've used Facebook to document all the different courthouses. Have you kept track? Like, do you know how many different courthouses you've been in the state of Kentucky?
I did. I actually printed out a map of all the counties, and I would highlight when I would go and make an appearance on the record in the courthouse. And I mean, I don't know what the number is, but it's, you know, when I started.
Is it 70? Because I feel, feel like you've hit Western Kentucky as much as you did Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably somewhere around there, somewhere around half the counties.
I just, back in the day, I would imagine, because Jason's was notorious for his Jeep Rangers, right? And when you got out of law school, that's what you drove.
Ford Rangers?
Yeah, Ford Rangers, yeah.
Love Ranger.
And I just remember, I knew when the tables had turned, when Jason, because he would go to court in his Ford Ranger, when he pulled up in a Lexus. I was like, okay. Okay.
My boy's grown up.
He's big like, time now.
Listen, I know who to borrow money from.
Yeah.
Like, because I know what you all make, no offense.
I mean, none taken. Everybody knows what we make.
Yeah, like, nothing. It's, you know, it's, and it's comparable to what I make. So I'm like, you know, we ain't got no money.
You're doing laps around the state, man. It's nice to have something comfortable. Yeah. Ford Rangers.
Let's make a little rough, wouldn't it?
A Ford Ranger with a book of CDs.
He still got those CDs, I know. Too.
We pulled them out the cabin.
Pulled them out of the cabin. He's got a whole thing of CDs.
I can't wait to have y'all at the cabin now that it's redone. Dad's got the... an old music system. It sounds good.
So CD player?
John. Yes. Yeah, man. It's going to be up and going. Like old times.
Oh, God.
Still working on that
one. Yeah, so I guess we can't go when it's cold.
I mean, the heat works. We just won't be able to have fire.
Well, as long as there's heat. But that's the one place we go where you're literally cut off from the rest of the world. Like, it's just us. There's no phone. There's no internet. There's no TV. It's just us and our thoughts. And
well, I think it makes it a lot of fun for us, too, because we're not on our phones.
There's no distraction.
Yeah. Like, it's
gotta like your company.
Everybody's out there, you know, we're all in there together.
There's a new boat out there.
Or I was going to say, or you're on a pontoon, you know.
Yeah.
Doing stuff.
Yeah.
Driving around, whatever. But, yeah, the cabin, I think the cabin kind of lets all of us just get back to ourselves and hang out and not worry about
a lot of fun had on that boat. My favorite boat story, though.
We know about the boat story.
No, this is my favorite boat story is I leave one night and go to work. I worked at like 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. And I remember like 8:30, Abby called. She's like, I'm on my way home. By the way, we got up and got on the boat like 6 o'clock this morning. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, me, Rob, and Matt got on the boat and just putted around Lake Lumen. I was like, first of all, congrats. I didn't even know the boat ran.
It didn't run very long.
But, like, I just see these, like, you know, Captain Stokes out there with a little fisherman's hat on or whatever. Or maybe Abby had the hat. There was a hat at the cabin, like a little straw hat that's kind of similar to the one you wore today.
It's still there, man.
So Rob and I were bound and determined to find the key because Jason would not tell us where the key was. So we stayed up all night.
Because you all were in no condition to operate anything that moved, much less on the water.
That's fair to say. But we found the key. So me and Rob took off, and we did a lap around Lake Lumen. And we came back, and there's Abby. Because we were like, let's go get a fishing pole. We should have brought a fishing pole with us. So we go back, and then Abby's like, what are y'all doing? Like, come on, get on a boat with us. She's like, I'm not sure. I was like, yeah, come on. We're going to go fishing. You know, and so she gets on the boat with us. Then we had to bring her back, and we went back out. Well, then we had to paddle back in because the battery died, because we were out there for like 4 hours. And I think your family was coming out that afternoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was still on the dock struggling. Somebody had to take me home that next afternoon.
I remember my family pulled in, and you all were coming off the lake.
We're coming off the lake. With a
ahoy, matey!
Little did they know you ain't went to bed yet.
We had been to bed.
You were still up for this.
I couldn't do that now, though.
Do you think Debbie knows?
Oh, Debbie knows.
What? Like in the early days, just what was going on out there?
Oh, yeah, man. No doubt about it.
God, I mean, she's just a saint. She's really amazing woman. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you think about, like, you know, with our parents, like even my parents knew, you know, if we were all getting together somewhere, you know, they knew there was drinking involved. Like, their biggest issue was stay where you're at. Like,
oh,
they didn't want you out driving.
I remember the first lie I told my mom.
When you were like two?
No. Like when it pertains to it was homecoming. and there was a party. I was a sophomore, and I told her I was going fishing. First of all, she had to have known because I don't go fishing. And it was with Corey Cox. And we went to Jamie's. I don't even know if I should be saying his name. We went to somebody's house. And it was like a full-on, like, half high school, half college party. And I was a sophomore. And me and my boy AB held it down all night. And I think I earned his respect that night.
Shout out to Aaron Boyd.
That's right.
Wherever he may be.
I see him all the time.
He's in Mount Sterling.
Yeah. See him at the gym.
I think the only one that probably didn't know was my mom. Even though we told her
exactly what
we were going to be doing.
And she thought you were lying?
And she thought we were just joking.
Jerry
just
knew. At all.
Jerry
knew.
Jerry knew exactly Jerry what knew. We was doing.
Yeah.
But now me and Seth used to travel everywhere together. Like we'd go to Louisville when my brother was there going to school in Louisville. And she's like, well, what are y'all going to do? Like, oh, we're probably going to go drink, go to a strip club. You know, like we just say stuff. And she just started like, okay, boys. All right, y'all go have fun.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Jerry's in the background. I know what y'all doing. Can I go?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's but here's the fucked up part. Now we got to be sniffing the bullshit out.
Yeah. Well, you just said about it, but having the kids and all being in high school and stuff, but this is what they need. They need friends who are going to be, that'll get them in just enough trouble that they can have fun, but not so much trouble that they end up in jail. That's a pretty good balance.
There was a trip that my mom told me no, I couldn't go. And it was when, I think it was Lacey, Jason, Rob, I don't know if you were there, went to Carter Caves.
No.
What came out of Carter Caves?
Yeah. Part of that trip. No.
Community service.
Yep. Community service. Which, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, is not that bad.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be worse from what I understood. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
none of us ended up like Nino though.
God, I wasn't gonna say that, but yeah. Probably been expunged.
That was your fault. I mean, not my fault. Let's put that out on record. Let's put that out on record.
Not on record. It was not. How is that my fault?
Because you told him to.
You can't give in to peer pressure.
It was not me. It was Lacey Lewis.
I'm pretty sure. That's not the story I heard. I wasn't there, so I don't know. But
who'd you hear from, Lacey? Because Lacey,
yeah, here's
Lacey
the story. Here's the story.
He's probably lying.
I don't
know. Yeah. Who says, as the lights and sirens are behind us.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Guys, this really should be me. This should be me going to jail. That was a night.
The thing I remember about that is we were somewhere in Carter Caves State Park or something on some unpaved trail road.
Littering.
Drinking. But, I mean, who's going to be out? I mean, there's no lights. We're in the middle of nowhere, and then we see these cop lights, and they're just like, no way. Oh, man. That was it. I just couldn't believe there was police out in the middle of
like, freeze, motherfucker!
Oh, my gosh.
That's the odd part is, other than me, because Abby's been a part of our group since the beginning, you all have had the balls to bring strangers, basically, into our group, and somehow they've stayed with you all, despite us.
Yeah, they're just not very smart.
I know. I mean, and I think Giselle was talking about this, and Micah was like, we don't, when we do things like this, We don't really bring outsiders.
No.
You know, like there'll be occasions like if it's a family, like we're showing up to a family thing with somebody else, like, you know, there'll be other people there. But for our housed events, I ain't bringing no random person, like a friend that's not part of their group. Nobody's really bringing. Not that we're not a welcoming bunch. We're just a lot.
Yeah. A lot to handle. Well, I mean, you all came over to my house one night. And, you know, we had KB and Jeff and them there. And
oh, yeah. And I bet everybody's assholes puckered because I was there.
Yeah. So, you know, and they had a blast. Oh, so, yeah. Now I'll be like, hey, we're going here and doing this. I'm like, who you going with? I said, Gary. They're like, oh, man, he's crazy. I'm like, yeah, he was PG with you all.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, y'all didn't say nothing.
It took me an hour and a half to show you my butthole, so.
Yeah, you had to really break an ice.
Yeah.
Your go-to.
Yeah, that's my me and Jason went to New Hampshire, and the butthole story is I have my colonoscopy picture, and I randomly text it
to the group.
Yeah, all the time since 2017.
It's been that long.
Let me do a quick aside.
All right.
Sarah had to mute our group text because when she worked at Churchill, you sent that and she was in a meeting and it popped up on her screen. In the meeting, like, you know, people looked at her, she had to hide it real quick. What? Anyways, go ahead. Great timing.
My husband had a surgical procedure. It's okay. He's okay. He's okay. It's not medical. Cancer. I forgot what I was going to say.
You're talking about going to New Hampshire.
Oh, we go to New Hampshire, and we're celebrating Lacey's 40th birthday. I get with one of his friends up there, and literally within the first 15 minutes, we're swapping butthole stories. I talking about my colonoscopy. He had actually burnt his ass in a fire, like, not in a funny, like, he had to go to the hospital. He had like third degree burns on his ass. Like, so he's showing me his ass. I'm showing him surgical pictures of my ass, and we bonded. Shout out Jeff.
Is that when you messed up the chair too?
I did sharten a chair there. Jason, you were there.
I saw it. It happened.
I had a cup of coffee. I coughed. And shit my pants. So, kids, if you're listening, any of our kids listen, just know as you get older,
it happens.
Don't be ashamed.
That may be the only time I've seen you embarrassed. Your face turned red, and you got
it. Wasn't so embarrassing, other than Lacey's mother-in-law did the laundry, like she washed my shitty drawers. I was like, I said, no, you don't think you know? No, no, it's okay. It happens.
Gary. That makes you wonder how many times she's had to do that for Lacey.
I know.
Yeah, that's true. She's like, you're Lacey's friend. I get it. Yeah, like I get it.
This is a Tuesday load here.
Yeah. Must be a Kentucky thing because Lacey does this all the time.
I don't know. So bringing outsiders in, it's not frowned upon, but they got to know what they're getting into. As your wife's had to learn slowly.
You gotta have a good sense of humor when you're coming around it. You gotta be able to laugh at yourself. You cannot take yourself serious.
Oh no.
Because that's how we
if I know something bothers you,
right,
it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. No, if you're a little self conscious, maybe about the size of your ears or your nose. Not it's not going really out to anybody.
Why are you looking at me when you said
that? I wasn't. I was looking over there.
Your nose just happened to be in the way.
It's always in my peripheral.
That's not nice.
When we did the episode with Seth, before we got on this network, you know, we just have songs, and Abby found the perfect fucking song from Phineas and Ferb, The Beak.
The Beak, Yeah, I find it hard to believe that Abby.
I swear to God, Abby actually
listens to the podcast. Abby usually makes the jokes at my expense.
She does. I try to.
She's a jerk,
which I don't appreciate.
Like, yeah,
I'm actually glad that she's out of the classroom and she's not.
She's not
corrupting young kids' minds anymore.
That's another thing is that Abby and Micah work together now, or they work in the same district. Like they just went to a conference, spent the whole week together. And
That's trouble for Montgomery County.
Listen.
Yeah, they're going to have a hard time.
I love them both. Would do anything for them. But the shit that comes out of their mouth sometimes, I'm just flabbergasted that that they have the level of education they have and the unawareness of some things.
I can't have both. Well, I mean, because Mike is going back and listen to this, and I'll get in trouble.
What is she going to do? Hit you?
Probably. And I deserve every minute.
Right now, as this is playing, right now.
Yeah. Oh, just the like the quirkiness of everybody. Like I remember distinctly Sarah fucking Wilson walking in, and just the shit. Like it's like the whole the attention of the whole fucking room went right to her. We were in your dad's garage.
She's all dried up.
Playing. That's when we were having our card phase, and I was just like, "Man, this poor girl."
That was Lacey, though. Lacey set that up.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of these stories can go back to Lacey.
That's true. He's not here to defend himself, and so he probably couldn't. He would need an attorney to defend himself on a lot of things.
Defend himself.
No. We had a wild, almost week that week when we were at my parents, and we started in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out it was way too loud. Because my parents' bedroom was right above the basement. So then we moved everything into the garage. Had beer pong. We had like
card tables.
Two or three tables for cards because random people would come over and play cards with us.
Who was it, your dad that went out to get the trash? And it was just.
So he was taking a trash out one morning and he comes through and fills up like two garbage bags full of beer cans and everything off the tables. So he's opening the garage door. Steps down and he looks. He said, "There's twice as many on the ground." He said, "I took like five bags of trash of beer bottles and beer cans. If y'all recycled, you could have bought all your beer for the week, as much as you all went through. I mean, we drank a lot, and you know, thankfully they let us stay in there. Like I said, as long as we were staying there, not going out and going crazy, and
we were of age then."
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lacey had a kid. He was the first one was to have a kid.
Oh, my parents would have smacked us if we were underage drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Lacey got his hair spray painted that week.
Yes.
That was Rob getting
him
back.
Did somebody piss in somebody's truck?
That was Rob getting him back for peeing in his truck. Yeah, Lacey
peed in Rob's truck.
Or maybe that happened after. I can't remember the exact
because we went to Mr. Gaddy's like the next day. And Rob chased Lacey around Mr. Gettys for like 5 minutes trying to get him mad.
You would think if you were just a casual observer of us sometimes that we didn't like each other.
Yeah.
Peeing in somebody's vehicle.
That's a bold move, Cotton.
That is an assault.
I mean, I shit in somebody's chair, but it was innocent.
Accident.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just a... Like we're all in our 40s now. What do us as grandparents look like?
It's probably not gonna be good.
I mean, me as a parent's not that good, so gotta be better, right?
Sure.
Like I saw like my dad completely change demeanors when he became a grandfather. So I'm thinking maybe there's some hope for me. Not that I'm not a compassionate dad.
You're not. Charlie, we got your back, girl. Which Charlie's really kind of like my child anyway.
She is.
You know.
Compassionate and Gary Thomas.
They don't mix.
No.
No.
Nobody's ever used that word to describe you.
I mean, I just did.
Is that how they announce you?
You use that word. Yeah. No one else has ever used that word.
Yeah.
Is that how they announce you at the
speaking engagements?
Compassionate Gary Thomas.
Like, I would love... Because the girls were just at a conference, and Abby was talking about people watching, like how that was her thing. Like she'd sit back in the cut, just watch people. I'm not a people watcher. I got to get in. And if I don't know you, even better. I'll lie. Fuck, I mean, I'll fuck make up shit about myself, you know, whatever.
I was going to say, if we went to a conference together, like Micah and Abby did, there'd be a lot of people watching us because we're probably going to do a lot of stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah. Especially if we got to speak.
Yeah, that would, I mean, what? That would be
all right. All right. We're going to this conference, right? Whatever it is. It's not about education or anything. Like, we heard this episode of the podcast. We really want you guys to come tell y'all a story or tell a story, something to this crowd of 1,000 people. What would our story, like, what would it be about?
I mean, you could pick just about anything. We've done a lot of stuff, good and bad, together. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, even today, going hiking, which was my idea.
Was your idea.
And a terrible idea.
But it was, to be fair, we were just trying to get out of the house.
Right.
To find something to do. And this place is 30 minutes from my house. And I really never realized really what Natural Bridge was. Like, I came down, we had post Christmas parties at the lodge. So I'd go to the lodge, but I never really went to the youth group in church back in like 93. We came down here and we
hiked. You skipped out.
No, I was here. Oh. That's the only time I've ever been up there.
I mean, we could pick a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not
surprised,
like,
anxiety. Yo, Matt Stokes.
Yeah. Well, you could talk about weddings. I mean, we've been at each other's weddings, each other's weddings, and
mm-hmm. bachelor parties.
Bachelor parties.
The bachelor parties were always great. Post wedding ceremonies, you know, all that stuff. Just there's a lot we could do.
So Seth's bachelor party was a 2-day event, perfectly planned, was awesome. But I got to think.
Congratulations, Sean.
Yeah. I just remember we were at the Maker's Mark Bar, which isn't even there anymore. I was double fisting because it was free. Or, I mean, it wasn't free, but it was part of the deal. Like, drink as much as you want.
For like an hour or something.
Yeah,
2 hours.
And then he got us another hour.
Yeah, because we were all rushing to get our drinks. We're like, we can get all these drinks in.
And we had just did the same thing the night before. And we were going to go to 4th Street and all that. And I just remember going back to the hotel so schmammered and going to sleep and waking up. And I was like, I'm dying because the
throat was swollen.
The little thing in the back of your throat was like laying on my back of my tongue. I was like,
can't talk.
I was like, oh God, I'm dead. Like,
it's probably from ice or something you ate that.
Turns out it's because you're dehydrated. Oh, all right. Okay. Like, that's what makes that happen.
That stuff only happens to you, man.
And I was like, I'm dying. But then I'll never forget, for Stokes' bachelor party, we go to the Galt House and I'm checking in. I'm like, I have 2 suites. And they're like, we don't have any suites. And I was like, what
the fuck? Lady Gaga was there.
Gaga was there that night. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, and I'm looking back because everybody's behind me. I'm like, what do I do? They're like, hold on. They're like, we're going to upgrade you to an apartment.
I remember.
Like, I was like, I got to pay for that? They're like, no.
Large that night, man.
I was like, oh, shit. So they, I didn't even know those things existed, but we got like a 1,200 square foot, 2-bedroom pimp palace. And I was like, oh, my God.
You think that hat's still up there?
You want to tell the hat story?
So.
You want that? I mean, that don't embarrass me.
Well, I mean, we were, you know, it's.
This was.
Bachelor party.
Yeah, it's a bachelor party. So, if you're in Louisville, downtown, where do you go for adult entertainment? PT's.
Yeah. Well, we started at 4th Street, and then
we started at 4th Street. But we got the planning on my part was bad because it was daylight savings time, so we lost an hour.
How do you remember that?
I just remember.
What's PT's?
Google it, Ellis.
Yeah, you were there. Yeah. But so we're sitting at the stage, and there's a couple next to us, and this woman is trashed, hammered.
Worse than us.
And she's wearing a cowboy hat. Or like, it was kind of like the
straw hat,
whatever. And we stole it from her.
Not we. Why you got to say we? You said, I like that hat. I'm going to try it on. So you took it off her head and put it on your head. And then you happened to just walk out with it. Like, there's no we to it. You did that part.
I feel like you wore too.
I mean, I was egging it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
So anyway, we left that hat in that apartment.
And we put it up on the TV stand, hoping like one of these days we'd ever go back to that apartment.
5 in the morning, and we ordered Goodfellas Pizza. Is that a place? That sounds like
yeah.
And your brother was there, and I just remember sharing a bed with Jared, and he snored so fucking loud. I was like, he's not breathing. Also, it's 7 a.m. Why am I still awake? It was just, sleep was never really an option back then.
Well, plus if you went to sleep, like when we went on our trip to Florida, if you remember that, when we were sophomores in college or something, we all went to Florida together, and, you know, people got flour thrown on their face. And you know,
so mad, too. Why were you so angry about that?
I don't know. To this day, I don't know. It's just something about, I don't know.
Yeah, which, that, I didn't know. I wish I. So my mom found the video that I took of that trip. I've not even watched. I'm afraid to even know what's on there. It's not bad, but.
No, I bet there's some good times on there.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
That's another thing that could go on our movie. That trip was epic.
Oh,
yeah. Between Rob's toe and all that drama.
I just remember Matt getting so mad. We went. Rob drove my brand new car.
And you stayed up all night until he got there because you couldn't sleep.
Yeah. Drove my brand new car. I rode with Matt. We all rode down together. I left my car at Matt's house. I forget Rob had to work, whatever he's doing, but he's going to drive all night in my car down there. I was scared to death. So this son of a bitch is going to wreck his motherfucker. And he didn't. We went down there, went to a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
Chadwell was supposed to go. He ended up going.
It was just me and you, wasn't it?
Me and you went to the NASCAR race. A rain delay. It's the 4th of July race at Daytona National Speedway, International Speedway. We're not done like 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Like,
y'all had to come pick us up.
Yeah, come pick us up.
Said pick us up.
Traffic was a motherfucker. It's like the whole city of Daytona shuts down. Rightfully so. That's a big part of it. But I remember we get up and go back to the racetrack the next day.
Yeah, to look around and check
it out. Like, check it out. And my phone rings and it's like, hey, you guys need to stop and get Band-Aids.
Oh, I was
told. And Matt was like, what the fuck? I was like, what happened? Rob cut his foot. It's bleeding pretty bad.
Because, and like,
he hadn't been there fucking 2 hours.
I was tore up because this is a place
that your family,
that our family has always gone to. I'm like, man, my dad is going to kill me. Like, we do something stupid, we're dead. You know, like, I'm not worried about the people in Florida. I'm worried about coming home to dad. And he'd be like, hey, I got a phone call. Like, you've had it. You know, like, right. So yeah, that was my biggest concern. Yeah, they called it. We need Band-Aids. Ross cut his foot open. And then we find out he was trying to, like, run and jump into the pool and slipped. And it was all that. What do you have, strolls or something?
I had got that as a gag gift for Christmas. It's like the cheapest beer.
Yeah, it was like $6 for a case of it or something. And Rob drank all of it. Like, he didn't care. He's like, shoot, I'll drink it. And
that's one thing. He's thrifty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we all come out of the gas stations with a can of pop or a bottle of pop. Here comes Rob with a 2-liter.
I remember that.
We're like, why do you have a 2-liter? He's like, boys, it's 89 cents. You paid $1.50 for that 12-ounce bottle or something. You know, like, he's a genius.
5 times more for cheaper.
Yeah. But we had to stop and pee every 5 minutes.
It served him well.
I
don't know. And that's the thing too. When people come around, is we have there's so much inside jokes and nostalgia that they're like, "What the fuck are you talking about? How many just had to be there?"
Yeah,
because we have 25 years of experiences together. Not a lot of people can say that. You know, I'm sure you have people at work and people at your work that you're friends with, and like, but I don't have that same.
It didn't go back that far.
No, it doesn't go back that far. Like when I do my podcast with David, I consider him a great friend. I would never bring him around here.
Oh, he would have a good time.
Nah,
we would have a good time.
We would have a good time at his expense, but I don't think he would enjoy it.
I think you should do it.
Some people just aren't built for this, right?
Well, I mean, we'd toughen him up.
And that would be like, and I would feel responsible because after a couple of drinks, I'd be on his ass too. And we'd all feel like we'd all jumping on the pile.
Everybody's ganging up on the newbie.
Yeah. You know,
that's how it usually goes.
Yeah, be like, listen, you got to come in and not care.
Just go with it.
Just don't
you
care.
Gotta go with it.
Yeah.
Laugh.
You got to go with it. Yeah, just got to laugh. Yeah, that's the best. Yep. That's the best.
When you know you belong.
Your wife is great at that. She don't give a fuck.
She was awesome this weekend.
Yeah.
She was really throwing it back this weekend.
Yeah.
So I feel like she feels a whole lot more comfortable with us.
Because
a lot of times she stays kind of quiet.
The
but this
longer
weekend has been great.
The marriage goes, and the longer she's here, it starts to erode at Buckeye. Like it just kind of the shine starts to come off, and the defenses come down, and maybe she adopts a little more natural way of life. Because if you grew up in Ohio, that's really not natural. That's true. Be the same thing. She would, if I was to bring David, I'd have to have Colby here because they're both. He went to Ohio State. Like they'd have to. She'd have to have a partner, like a defense partner, and she would be great to help him. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with Buckeyes, except everything.
Yeah, my entire family is from Ohio. All of them. Dad's family, mom's family, they're all from Ohio. So
that was the best thing your parents ever did, was leave there.
So, yeah,
you're the chosen one.
That's right. Only one born in Kentucky. Well, I mean, technically they were, I guess technically Sean was born in Maysville and mom was born in Maysville, but Sean's first 5 years of his life, he lived in Ohio.
That's explaining a lot right now. Yeah. You know, we've always tried to figure out what was wrong with him.
He's odd.
He lived in Ohio his first 5 years.
Yeah. Then he left Kentucky to go to Pennsylvania. So that's,
yeah. He was imprinted early.
Sorry, Sean. Is Sean listening to this?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
But he might. Who knows?
We'll tag him in it.
Yeah. And then we need to get him. He's tried to hang out with us a couple times.
He has tried to hang out with us.
You know, at your bachelor party, I think he had a blast.
He did. He had a great time. Yep. He laughed at us.
He just called us idiots the whole time, which we are.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true.
It's the only bachelor party I've ever been to that had an itinerary.
That's true. And he was on point.
He was.
Everything.
Yeah, we're going to be here to play golf, and then we've got dinner here, and then
Louisville Slugger Museum.
Louisville Slugger. Yeah, I forgot about the Louisville Slugger Museum. Yeah. We did do that.
Yep. He was on fire. I should have hired him for mine.
Bet you had fun.
Yeah,
you
all
were drunk.
I don't remember half of it.
I was going to say.
I don't remember half of anybody's weddings or. I guess that means it was a good time.
All right. So after we get done here, we got to pop the bottle of champagne because the I brought the champagne. It's mine and Stokes' memory at my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the 18th hole at Shatoe Trail. It's not even a golf course anymore, right?
I don't even think it's open anymore, is it?
But I don't know how we ended up there,
stuff there but
or why we had a full-ass bottle of champagne.
We drank it, though.
But we were drinking it like we were a couple hobos passing the bottle back and forth. And I had to piss, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go over and – it's like a straight drop down. I was like, oh, God, I about died.
I was trying to get him run off of it.
Yeah, he was trying to get me to
just take a big run real quick.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. Hurry up. Run to that tree over there.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was a drop off, and he didn't. And he got over, and he's like, man, it's dropped straight down. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's right.
Robbie and I helped your wife, your new wife, do a kickstand.
I know.
Out on the
She was a deck. Beast.
Yep. That was my memory. That's the one thing I do remember.
That's one of... like our most treasured pictures is you, Rob, and I think Lacey, the picture at the keg.
Yeah.
Like that's been on display in our house the whole time.
Yep.
And then there's a great picture with you, Matt, Sean, Lacey, and Ben Miller.
Well, I thought Jason was there.
Was Jason not there? He was not there.
Huh.
You want to talk about that?
I was there. I just wasn't there for the picture.
Just wasn't there for the photo op.
I had things to tend to.
You know? That's when I rocked a flat top for a solid. Oh, you did too, though.
I did too. I had it forever. Now mine's falling out. I can't do that no more.
Man, mine's not falling out, but it's just not. You know how hard it is to find somebody that will do a flat top?
Really?
I just go to Great Clips now, but I'd have to drive back. And even my boy Dave Stevens didn't. It was not like a true flat top. Like how. You know, you go to Bo or Johnny, right. And you'd get, like, that shit would be flatter than fuck and, like, perfect.
You see the skin?
Yeah.
If you can see the skin up here. Like,
yeah, that's that old. That's
you
that
just
old...
get yours cut pretty low, too, didn't you, Seth?
It was all shaved.
The Seth Thatcher, it had its own name.
We had different hair like,
just first
we all went
25
got
years of his life.
Different hair colors. I got my... beard colored, but you all went to platinum status.
That's right. That's
not everybody.
Not it. Well,
some of us.
You were already blonde.
Didn't do stupid shit like that. I mean,
I would like
still doing it.
I would like. It was like blue though, right? Purple.
It was blonde first for like 2 weeks, and then it was purple. Then it was blue.
Do you want to talk about going to the hospital in Arizona?
That was awful.
So he's in pain with blue hair. No, you know, like this motherfucker just in here trying to get some pills.
I really do think they were
profiling.
They thought I was on drugs. I really do think they thought that because, I mean, I still had a lot of blue hair at that point, and I would get these looks, and they were just like, yeah, this guy's trying to score drugs. And I mean, It took a nurse that came in that was covered in tats. She was one of my people, and she was like, "Have you had anybody like has given you any sort of pain medication?"
You're like, "Kill me, lady."
And I was like, just "No, nobody's giving me anything." She goes, "Give me just a second." And she was gone less than 2 minutes and came back in. She's like, "Here's your IV." And I was like, "Thank you."
And of course, you know, say how we always pick on each other. Say it's in a hospital. Kobe calls me. It's like, you know, tells me what's going on, kidney stones, whatever.
And you're on a vacation.
And I'm on a vacation. I'm in
this motherfucker's gonna come.
I'm in Florida, and I had a flight planned for the next morning, so I got to watch their kids. But that next morning, she calls it. I think he's doing better. I said, "Well, good. Tell me soft." She's like, "What do you mean?" I said, "You know, my daughter's had the same thing. I didn't have to take her to the hospital." Mike is in the background. Said, "Yeah, she's had to go to the hospital every time." I'm like, "Shut up."
He don't know that. Yeah. He don't know like, that.
I can talk about how big of a baby he is, and he has no idea. But
yeah,
you can't
I don't
be
think any of
y'all
is calling me to come watch. Now, if you need me, like, drive you home or come hang out with you, cool. Nobody's calling me to watch your kids. No. Not that I wouldn't. I would love to.
You've watched my kids before.
Yeah. You will. Yeah. But they're my kids, too. Yeah, it's a blended family.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I actually ruined Seth's kids from eating gummy bears.
Gummy bears. You scared Georgia, yeah. That might have been one of the first interactions she had with you. Mm-hmm. And you were like, "You know where gummy bears come from, don't you?" She was like,
Horse hooves.
She was like, she cried like right there in the middle.
Probably saved her money, though.
Yeah.
She eats gummies. she's not pleased by that. But.
Yeah.
Hattie used to be scared of you.
She did.
You had that big old beard.
Yep.
You'd come over and she'd be running from you.
Yeah. Will's never scared.
No, Will's
Will calls me dad now. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Will's got a lot of parents that he walks around and says, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad." Dude.
People are going to start asking questions.
Yeah.
The one thing that the Stokes's in particular know that I hate more than anything is teeth. I hate loose teeth, pulling teeth, and it don't – I've got – on my phone, Will, Sawyer, Kaylee, like, they're losing the tooth. I'm like, I don't want to see this.
I send him a video every time they have a loose tooth, and they'll start wiggling it. He's like, "That's gross. Don't ever."
I've never pulled my own kid's teeth.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Kobe pulls them. I don't pull them.
What?
No, y'all not allowed up here.
Yeah, now one of the women have made their way back up here. Oh, they're all coming up here.
Yep. Oh, good. Now we can start talking about it.
Have you really?
You're a liar.
Hot tub time machine. Well, now the girls are coming up here, I guess.
Naked?
That's episode 3, video podcast.
Video podcast.
Of all of us, and we're going to break the internet. Definitely going to break the hot tub.
Right, I got a question for you before we wind it up.
All right.
How does 20 years feel?
Like it went by in an instant.
Really?
Like an instant. Again, I mentally feel 19. So I was 22 when we got married. I turned 23 that year, but it's went by so fast.
Yeah, you think Abby would say the same thing though?
That it's went by fast?
Seth?
Probably.
Well, she thinks, are you going to think it's a slow death?
Like it's pretty much, yeah.
Like every day just drags out.
I mean, Ellis tells her all the time. He's like, you know, you're a saint.
No, that's right. All of our wives are saints.
Yeah, the one thing I want to be clear about, because when you all do your banter, I don't want anybody out there thinking that we're on your side.
That's not necessarily true because...
No, that's... Bros before hoes.
I mean, to an extent, but Abby is an absolute saint.
She does.
So when I hear you guys going back and forth, I'm all the time feel like rooting for Abby and... She's a saint for just like all of our wives are saints for putting up with us. But you're a little extra, Gary. And we love you because you wouldn't be you without it. But
fine, I'm Team Sarah now.
Listen, I'm Team Gary. Of course, you know we gave Abby a hard time before we even came on this anniversary weekend just to start getting her fired up about how she left the kids stranded and her own child.
Yeah,
for leaving his teacher.
She's so we've had a lot of fun with is her. The. True embodiment of fuck those kids. She's like, I can't even. But for her defense, I remember she hadn't been teaching 5 or 6 years, and there was like a job offer that came up. Somebody asked her about it, She's like, "What should it is?" Like, "You should take it." Yeah. Like, "It's more money. Like, we're poor. Take it." And she never would. She held strong. I don't think it's the kids that broke her. I'm just going on a limb and saying it's the people she's worked with over the years that she's finally like, "All right, I feel comfortable in leaving."
She's got that experience in.
Well, she has that experience, and she hates authority. And now
I know, because every time you tell her to do something, she kind of gives you attitude.
I know, right?
That's ridiculous.
Respect my authority. But now she has a group of people that she likes. Not that she didn't like them. I'm just saying she'd always question why she had to do shit, and her ways were always better. Which is held up in this marriage. Like, I'll front for a while. I'll be like, "Oh, no, let's do it this way." And I always have to concede, like, "You're probably right."
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, everybody knows that one.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I should probably have written down, like, maybe the 6 times in 20 years where I was right. It should be on a plaque somewhere.
Just to
July 13th, 2012, I was right.
First and last time for it.
No. I'm getting wiser. Do you feel like you have wisdom to impart? Like, I have a young coworker, and I don't relate to him at all. Like, we're two different people, grew up two different ways in two different stages of life. But I'm like trying to impart. Like, I buy him lunch all the time. He's like, "Why do you do this?" I was like, "Because you will do this for somebody one day. Like, you will do this. Like, this is people did this for me. It was done for me." He's like, "But I got money." I was like, "It ain't about money. It's about, like, just know somebody cares enough to take care of you." He's like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, but what do you say after that?
I think it, like, went over his head. Like, "I ain't buying nobody no fucking lunch." You know? Like, you know? I'll be telling him, like, we were talking about retirement. I was like, he's dealing with the whole battle of, you know, he's in that student loan thing where he's got a shit ton of student loans. And I'm like, "You need to be putting some money back in, like, deferred comp, like this, and like shit that I should have done, should have paid attention to when I was poor like you. Would have paid off now. It wouldn't be, you know, I'd be in a better thing." And of course, he goes over his head. I'm like, "Well, fuck you then." So I lose my patience if people don't talk to me like that. I love him though. All right. So this is, should we put ours out first, or should we put the girls out first?
I mean, are we going to listen to the girls first? Or?
We can.
Because I feel like we were very PG.
Yeah.
I think they'll be very impressed or shocked at our conversations we had.
There'll be some little snippets in there that they'll pick up on.
But I mean, as far as
inside jokes that nobody else knows.
Yeah. But I mean, it was like, I feel like we were well behaved.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'd also feel like we had some threats before we got on here that we had to behave. Or,
and we, just for the record, we let them be the whole time, and they're all three looking at us right now.
Yeah. Like, we didn't care what they said.
I got a drink.
Do you want to, before we close out here, defend your foot apparel on this trip?
I just like to have options.
I
knew that they would talk about that. We were down there and wonder what they were talking about.
Just on record, how many pairs of shoes did you bring?
Now you're putting me on.
I just want to know, like, what the big deal is. Why are they so tore up about it?
Options. I mean, you know, I didn't.
So, like, five?
Yeah.
It's got to be more, because he just said, yeah.
I mean, we're only here for 2 days.
I've been to Chicago. There's been other things going on. I like to be prepared.
Now, I will say, I saw Micah's bag with shoes. She's got 4 pairs here herself. So it doesn't matter. Jason came from Chicago. You can't say you came straight from somewhere, because he came from places too. Well, she stopped in Mount Sterling. And she actually came home. So, Jason, I got your back. I'll probably get in trouble, but I got your back.
I appreciate that, bro.
Are you getting a FaceTime call? All right.
Yeah, we'll put that on the news here.
Probably from an iPad, or maybe where you got the new cell phone service. Put your cell phone number out there for everybody here so they can call you. 606. What's the next 3?
That's the easiest 3 to get.
That's the weird thing is I haven't had a 606 phone number since I had a landline in Bath County. And I also used to know everybody's like home phone number. And I don't know shit now, except my mom's.
I still know sis on home phone number.
I was going to say, don't say it because my mom still works. Don't be saying mine.
Well, my mom still works too.
Yeah.
784. All right.
Just Google Manamore.
If you like this and you want us, you would rather hear the guys talk or you like the guys' episodes better, please let us know.
Yeah, like ours.
I would love to replace Abby. Yeah.
I'm not saying replace, but we could do this more often.
Replace Gary.
Yeah.
And have Abby on here with us.
Yeah. Oh, well, that'd be okay. We could do it both ways, like Abby and somebody different, me and somebody different. Just not all the time. Because that is really the true 1 hour that we get. Adult to talk like adults. We're not watching Bluey or de-escalating some 15-year-old crisis.
Prom dresses.
Yeah. So that's it. That's a wrap.
We appreciate it.
Come back and see us.
Holla at you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.